And now for something completely different.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. And I don't know what exactly totally different we're doing here, but I guess we are completely different. We as Christians are definitely very different from the world and should be. And we are thankful that you are joining us here, whether you're driving somewhere, whether you're walking around the house. I hope you're having a great afternoon, a wonderful Thursday today. And you are listening to KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry, sitting in for David. You can find our ministry, the White Fields Ministry, at whitefields.org. White Fields Ministry supports national pastors starting new churches in their own countries among their own people. They know the language, they know the culture, and they work very efficiently. You can also find David Spoon, or you can reach David Spoon by typing davidspoon at kprz.com. And you can also find his Facebook page by typing in the David Spoon Experience. And I hope you will spend some time listening and learning from David. He's got some great things to share, and appreciate being able to be in with him today. In the house, though, with me is Pastor Ray Owens. Ray, good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Good. And Ray is the pastor of Generations North in the fine city of Oceanside. And he's also manages the Ryan Brothers Coffee Shop. So that those two things are very, very dear to my heart. Hang on, let me get a sip of my coffee right here. Coffee has become a very important part of my life. I love it. I love coffee shops as well. And tell me, what are some of the things that are highlights of your life in managing a coffee shop and being a pastor? How do those things blend together? How do they work out?
Caffeine's great, right?
Caffeine is so awesome.
That blends everywhere. I think every church now has coffee served on Sunday.
Sure.
So there's the mix there. Everybody's always asking me for free coffee.
Right.
But for me, it's real interesting being able to do both jobs at the same time. And the beauty of being in the coffee shop is I get to be with the lost on a daily basis.
That's right.
They come in every day, and people in a coffee shop will literally bring all their troubles and cares and concerns and just unload it on a barista who they don't know.
That's right, because you're there to make coffee, make an espresso, pull up a latte, and then you seem like a friendly face. I'm going to talk to you, and they start sharing.
Exactly.
That's a great opportunity. I've had that opportunity as well. I've had the opportunity to lead people to Christ in coffee shops. Sometimes it's over a long time, sitting and talking for a while. But I know that sharing the gospel is an important part of your life as well. You have enjoyed doing that. We were together. I'm going to start out in this segment. We're going to talk about Uganda. You were with me in Uganda, and we were there serving among the Whitefields for Whitefields Ministry, and you had the opportunity to go visit some of the homes of people. Tell me a highlight testimony, one of the testimonies that you heard while you were there of somebody that just sort of struck you, man, this person has come to know Christ. And what's one of those that really struck you?
There's many.
I know.
We were in many homes, and it was phenomenal. As you ask that question, I'll say the first one right off the bat would be the very last one we did. This was a lady that we weren't even going to know if we were going to make it to her location because she lived so far away from this church.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to drive out there, and it was a long drive.
Right.
I remember just watching the miles, and I'm like, where are we going? We're going deeper and deeper in the bush. And we finally had a chance to meet her. It was just her in her home, and we had the chance to just share testimonies. She was a believer in Christ. She was
right.
A part of that church. And what shocked us, eventually I came around and asked the question. I said, how do you get to church?
Right.
And she goes, well, of course I walk.
I walk. Everybody there walks. They don't have cars. They walk.
They walk. And so I said, well, how far is the walk? Because I was in a car, and it was like a 30-minute drive, it seemed like to me. Four-hour walk she mm-hmm. does.
That's right.
So 4 hours.
She can make it to church. That is why our heart is designed. We're working at getting churches planted out there closer to her. And I know Johnny Bosco, I shared John Bosco's testimony last time I was on with David Spoon. And we're praying that our partners will come together and we'll get the support so that we can put John Bosco into a church in Chigaga. That'll be about 15 miles closer to her.
Yep.
It'll cut that walk down to 2 hours, folks. If we can get some people to give about $50 a month, we get 8 or 10 of you to do that, we can put that in place. Now, when you heard a testimonies, you heard some people that shared that they came to Christ, and they it wasn't just like, hey, I was living my life, everything was going along cool and smooth, and then somebody shared about Jesus. Tell me one of the ones that, that just really struck you.
One that sticks out. We were sharing. It was a mother and her son was there. Mm-hmm. And her son was ditching school. And we were basically going, why is the son ditching school? He was about 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And she said, he said, his name was Alan. He said, well, I just didn't feel like going to school today. Mm. So we're like, well, we're really glad you're here because we want to share something with you. Now, the mother was a believer, but she told us that the son was not.
Mm, okay.
And she kind of shared a story of, and you guys talked about demonic oppression
right,
in Uganda.
Yeah.
And she was sharing the story of what was happening to her family. Husband is no longer in the picture. Single right. mom raising kids.
Sure.
And it was traumatic things that we were hearing. And we were just going, wow, this young man is going to hear the gospel. And he's seen deliverance from demonic oppression right. as well. We get forward. Many of us on our team share the gospel. And Alan's just stubborn. It's just, it yeah. wasn't his moment. The
not
Lord did not open
yes.
his eyes. Not saying yes. And for a minute, the whole team kind of just, we felt as if the Lord was doing something phenomenal in that room. And for him to just say no, oh, man, yeah. it just deflated us. And so then I just kind of looked around the room. I said, well, maybe your mom could share how she came to faith.
Right.
And she looks at me and goes, I don't know Jesus.
Oh.
But after hearing everything you guys just said, I want to give my life to Christ. And
okay.
she gave her
so
life
she gave
to
her
Christ
life
in that room right then.
Right. And sometimes that's where you don't know what God's doing when you're in a situation like that, where you're sharing with one person and then somebody that you didn't even know was listening ends up receiving Christ because of the ministry that's going on there. And that is amazing when that happens. Tell me, when you start out, what's the first kind of a thing that you might say to somebody? Let's say you're just sitting in a coffee shop, somebody sits down next to you, you've seen them around for a while, they sit down and say, hey, can I join you? And you sit down. What might you say that would cause a conversation to turn around to the gospel?
I'll even jump back one step before that.
Mm-hmm.
My heart wanting to be intentional with the gospel.
Because
how
true.
Often do we go through life and we don't want anybody to bother us?
That's
like,
right.
Just leave me alone.
That's
I'm in
right.
the coffee shop.
Right.
So when my heart is ready,
okay,
been prepared, then it changes everything. Then my focus
so
is
so intentionally,
different.
You're thinking of your day, hey, I might be able to share the gospel today.
That's it.
Okay. So that becomes something in the forefront of your mind to be prepared. Okay, so the first step is being prepared in your mind, in your heart, being ready to be able to share. And then once you're there, then you have that opportunity. Then what do? Just insert something?
Kinda.
Okay.
But in a way, it's looking for ways that the Lord has led me. Because
okay.
now I'm intentional, right? And
I'm
focused. And everybody I'm looking at and I'm praying for silently, they might just think I'm just going through my day. Going, Lord, is there an opportunity here for
right.
me? Are you calling me? And for me, I'm just looking for anything that can just strike up a conversation. It could just be a hello. It could be a
okay.
smile, right?
So you begin, it doesn't have to start with, hi, open up page one. I've got to say to this person, do you know where you will spend eternity?
Right.
It can be something just even a friendly phrase, a friendly smile, or if they are struggling with a test and you might say something that causes them to realize that, well, you know, I'll pray for you.
Yeah,
in that
absolutely,
and they go really well. What do you who do you pray to?
And then everything goes from there.
All
you're right.
right, and so you begin by being intentional. I think this is where a lot of people they don't find opportunities to share their faith because they're not intentional. They're not even thinking about or preparing to do that in the day. So when opportunities actually come up, they just pass right by. It'd sort of be like driving and not knowing that you're supposed to exit on Main Street. So you just keep passing Main Street in this town, nope, don't get off. See the next road sign, Main Street, don't get off. So intentional doing that. When you're sharing the gospel, then do you go right into like Bible verses or how do you begin to address that in a person's life?
Well, the conversation's going. Mm-hmm. I just saw somebody in the coffee shop the other day just sitting down reading a book. It's just mm-hmm. real simple. Hey, what are you reading?
Yeah.
And we just started into a conversation. Now, in this scenario, this person has seen me before, so has known me to be in the mm-hmm. coffee shop. So that opened up the door a little bit easier in that specific moment. But then this person, it shocks you almost every time, just opens up their heart
right.
and just starts sharing their life and their troubles and who just passed away.
Right.
And how I'm struggling with my father's death.
Someone just Whoa. Passed away of father's death, so now they start thinking, what does happen to us when we die?
That's it.
And then you're the person there with the answer to that. And so what's crucial there is that you're prepared to share the gospel, but they're also prepared at the same time. God is prepared. This is the time for them to start talking about this. So God is involved in that as well, and you got to be ready for the person when that opportunity presents itself. Are there some key passages that you like to have memorized that if someone begins to speak, just something that comes to mind that people listening today, hey, here's a passage of scripture I should have ready at my fingertips in speaking to somebody. You don't have to quote it right now. Just give me the reference or the gist of it.
Right. Well, I love to always go to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It's a great just starting point. There's a story behind it. So I can share a story of a religious person who didn't understand what it meant to be like to be born again. And so to use that word born again, and that was actually something really big we had to use in Uganda as well, because especially in our culture here, a lot of people believe that they know Christ, that they live for Christ, that he is Lord and Savior. It's an intellectual kind of faith. But when you say, hey, are you born again? Have you been regenerated? Right. Does the Spirit of God live in you and lead you and guide you in your life? Those are different conversations.
Good, right. And so by having that biblical passage refreshed to you, you can take them to that and say, hey, well, Jesus had a conversation with somebody and talked to Nicodemus about that and gets the conversation rolling. Then you can offer to open up a Bible with them or something like that, and then you can take them to those places and take a look at that. This is Pastor Ray Owens. He is the pastor of Generations North up in Oceanside. You can find them at gotogeneration.com. They've got a South Campus and a North Campus, and Ray is the pastor of the North Campus. He's also involved with the SBC Church Planters, Southern Baptist Church Planters here. Hope some of them are listening today. We're going to be right back with Pastor Ray Owens. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. When we come back, I'm going to explore some more topics with Pastor Ray. We're also going to talk about what it means to be an encouragement to your pastor. So don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Wow! In addition to being experts at new roof construction, old roof repairs, remodeling and maintenance, did you know that Excalibur Roofing is also an expert in waterproofing? That's right. No water allowed. Sorry, Rubber Ducky. From using the top-of-the-line Life Deck systems for deck coating to flat or sloping roofs, Excalibur Roofing covers the angles. Get it? With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded in roofing classifications, plus testimonials from people just like you, you can count on Excalibur Roofing. Call 760-743-8803. That number again, 760-743-8803. Or go online to their website at excaliberroofing.com. The best part of all their estimates are free. Just give them a call. What have you got to lose? But leaks, not onions. 760-743-8803. For residential or commercial help, remember, Excalibur Roofing. They've got you covered.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. When Scripture speaks of walking with God, it's referring to one's manner of life. For example, Paul prayed that the Colossian believers would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding so they could walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. To the Ephesians, he said, "Walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the emptiness of their mind, but be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you." Do those you know best see you as one who walks with God? I hope so, because the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. That's speaking of Christ. We ought to walk like Christ walked. This is John MacArthur praying you're continuing to be portraits of grace.
This segment brought to you by our good friend Sam Rasul. Sam Rasul, one of the top agents in the United States of America in regards to real estate. Here's something you might not know. If you're selling your house and you're thinking, I need to put some money into my house, but I can't afford it, fantastic that you've heard about Sam Rasul. You go to thinksam.com or call him at 858-780-1SAM.
You talk to Sam. If you list your house with Sam, he will forward up to $25,000 for you to fix up the house. And then at the close of escrow, when you sell it, he takes that money back but doesn't charge any interest. Also, if you buy or sell a house through Sam, he takes 25% of that commission and he gives it to whatever church, charity, or ministry you desire. On top of that, if you get in touch with Sam and you're thinking, I'd love to hear the story of how a Muslim becomes a Christian, then you also want to talk to Sam because that's one of the things he's well known for in San Diego, sharing his testimony, how he got from point A to point B, a fantastic story. ThinkSam.com. That's his website. ThinkSam.com. 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM.
The late comedian Bob Hope said that we reach middle age when our age starts to show around our middle. That's true for most of us. Our metabolism slows and we have to work harder to stay in shape. But there are some other things that ought to begin to show when we reach middle age. We should show more patience, more love, more of a long-term view of life. And we should be less impulsive, less self-centered, and less demanding. At least that should be true of the Christian who is letting the Holy Spirit form the character of Christ within. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's ways to make every year better on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. You can find our Whitefields Ministry at whitefields.org. And we are glad to be together today with Pastor Ray Owens. Ray is the pastor of Generations North in Oceanside. They meet at the Cesar Chavez Middle School. And he's also involved with the SBC church planning. Tell me a little bit about working with other pastors. What's it like? What does the SBC church planners do? Do you guys meet together, have other things, and what's going on around San Diego?
We do. Amazing family. My previous ministry experience, we were a non-denomination church, so there was really no family-based kind of attitude, kingdom mindset coming into the SBC family. That's exactly what it is. We call ourselves a tribe or a family that is kingdom-minded and wanting to work across all boundaries and party lines to be able to really get forth God's kingdom work within the city. So what the church planners do is we at least meet once a month. Okay. Come together, talk through our struggles, pray for one another, have a time of teaching that can sharpen us and encourage us. So the SBC has been really good with that. And then the wives, they have pastor wives fellowship. They come together. Very unique that only pastors' wives go through. And their
pastors'
conversations.
Wives bear the brunt of a lot of pain in a church. They not only have to deal with the criticisms that are hurled at them, but they also have to deal with the frustrations and the struggles that their husbands are going through. You have guys, and this is, you know, I've been a pastor a long time, and I work now with pastors all over the world, and I've had guys that their heart is broken, and they are crying. They put their head on your shoulder. You had some experiences like that over the years, coming to you?
Too many times.
What are some of the things that you have heard from pastors that has broken their heart the deepest, has made them the most discouraged? What kinds of events? What kinds of things?
Paul talks about it in the Bible as well. It's the conflict and the friction that can happen in the church.
Okay.
And it's everywhere.
So two people fighting, like who was that in the Philippians that, you know, the two women are fighting with each other. He's like, hey, come on, stop fighting with each other. You know,
we tend to fight over things that don't matter eternally and they just can get so caught up in that.
Yeah. So people in the church get to fighting with each other about something that really, if you were to step back and look at it, it's not eternally matter. It's not like you're fighting over the truth of the gospel.
Right.
They fight, and it ends up breaking and discouraging the pastor's heart. Why is that? Some people might say, well, I don't care if people fight in my church. Why does it break the pastor's heart?
I think the best way to explain it is we feel like a failure. We feel as the shepherd kind of leading these people, bringing forth the Word of God, counseling, that somehow it's just falling on deaf ears. And so we automatically will look at ourselves and mm-hmm. we need to and go, what am I doing wrong?
Right. So it's kind of like, maybe people could understand this if they're a parent. When your children are fighting with each other, you as a parent feel like you somehow haven't gotten them to see the importance of being a family and being together and supporting and loving each other. And so that brings that suffering to a pastor as well. I've had some people like marital family things in the church, family breaking up, and you take that personally, don't you, as a pastor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is a family to us. It's an extension of our own families, our spiritual family, and we put all of our heart and our stock and our love into the family of God.
Mm. I've had some guys, here's something, somebody's walking down a path, maybe it's a teenager or a young person in life, and then you see them bolting for the door out of faith. They're gonna blow this, they're gonna throw it all away. As a pastor, what does that make you go through? What is your response to that person when you see that?
That is some nights where you stay awake. Those are moments that really grieve a pastor's heart as well, as we're talking about grieving a pastor's heart. Is seeing people walk away from the faith or just distance themselves from getting closer to Christ. Okay. And once again, you look at yourself, and this is where the thing that internal struggle is always happening. Like, what am I doing wrong? How have I ministered inappropriately or appropriately? What's happening? And you always have to come to a place where it's going, whoa, this is God's work.
Right.
I'm an under-shepherd to Jesus.
That's, you know, I have to share that with pastors. When I'm overseas, and next month I'll be in Burma, and I'll be with a lot of pastors. And some of them are going to weep on my shoulder. They're going to put their head on my shoulder and just cry because of things they're trying to do and the struggles they face. And I have to remind them that this is God's work. You are, technically we use the term an under-shepherd.
Right.
Jesus is the shepherd, right?
Yep.
So we could be thankful for that. But there is a sense in which, and Paul referenced that, I was reading it earlier. Paul says, is there anybody that's not weak and I'm weak? He felt that sense, and that's really, though, that is the sign of a good shepherd, though, isn't it?
Hmm.
Because tell me, what would it be like if a pastor didn't care?
And I've seen it. You've seen it. I think a lot of listeners have seen it. Maybe a lot of listeners have even experienced it, been on the experiential side of it.
It's sad with that. And folks, if you're out there right now and you know, you're in a church where a pastor doesn't care whether you walk for Christ or don't walk for Christ, that's a sad place to be. You want to be in a place where a pastor is looking out for you and really cares about you, right? So tell me, when you guys get together, you encourage one another. That's an important thing to do. You have pastor talk, right? You know how to talk about things that are going on in your church?
Absolutely.
And you don't share personal names, but a lot of times it's just stuff, hey, I've got this going on in my church and I need prayer for this.
Exactly. A lot of times it's scenarios. Here's a scenario I'm finding myself in. Who's experienced this as well?
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's a crucial thing. Who's experienced this? You learn from other guys that go, hey, man, I just went through that. And they can give you advice.
Wisdom and a multitude of counselors, right? Like the Bible says.
That's right. It's I love a phrase. You know, we're in the middle of politics right now, which we could ignore. But I remember one time Ronald Reagan, they were criticizing him for being too old, and he says, I'm not going to take advantage of the youthfulness and inexperience of my opponent. You know, there's a sense in which, hey, you know what, older pastors, they've gone through more fires, and there's a sense in which there's that experience that can come alongside. But there's also an energy in young pastors. You like that youthful zeal, that energy that goes out. And when you can blend those together, and I think I get the feeling that that's kind of what SBC does by bringing older pastors together. I've been to some of the meetings. There's younger guys there, so it's not just a single age group, and then you can get in and interact.
You nailed it. That's exactly what they're doing. And one of the greatest things for me as a younger pastor is being able to sit under, learn, be equipped by pastors that have walked that journey first. And I actually want that more and more in my life.
Oh, that's excellent. This is Pastor Ray Owens. Ray is the pastor up at Generations North. He has been with me in Uganda. I've seen him sharing the gospel with people. Their church meets at Cesar Chavez Middle School. I have just a couple more questions I'm going to ask Ray when we come back. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. When we come right back, I've got just a couple more questions I'm going to grill Pastor Ray with.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
This is Dan Proft for the Salem Media Group. In the 2008 and 2012 presidential elections, millions of Americans confused the use of artful language with intelligent policy judgment. The results? Well over 400,000 dead in Syria and a refugee crisis in the aftermath. Four dead Americans, including a U.S. ambassador in Benghazi. An Islamist terrorist organization that graduated from the quote-unquote JV team to genocide in the Middle East and domestic carnage in Orlando and San Bernardino. A wildly unpopular, unaffordable, and even crazy, in the words of Bill Clinton, backdoor government takeover of health insurance. And two left-wing Supreme Court justices who use constitutional misinterpretations to justify every big government gambit and freedom-constricting folly. Hillary's lies recast 30 years of failed policies and catastrophic judgments that have inflicted untold human suffering, all while leveraging our government for her personal gain. Once again, we're facing a choice of style over substance in politics. Your choice, America. I'm Dan Proft.
This segment brought to you by Subaru El Cajon and Mazda El Cajon and our fantastic friend Chris George, who's the general manager of both dealerships. Now, you might be thinking, well, you mean there's two dealerships that I can go to but deal with one person? Yes. Are you telling me that they have fantastic service? Yes. Are you telling me that I'll be doing business with a Christian who might even pray with me before I even do my deal? Yes. And I'm telling you that that service department has helped me, oh my goodness, tons. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. If you want to buy a car, if you want to get service on your car, if you want to have the opportunity to talk to somebody who understands the car business, you either go to Subaru El Cajon or Mazda-ElCajon.com or go to Google, type in Subaru El Cajon and see what Google pulls up. Guess what? It'll be there. SubaruElCajon.com, not complex. Both dealerships are at 900 Arnell Avenue. Both dealerships can be reached at 800-418-4444. And both dealerships will help you find the car you want, give service to the car you want, and let you have the experience you want to have in buying and or even selling them your car. Here's the deal. You're doing business with brothers and sisters in the Lord. That is a great element in the car realm. Subaru El Cajon and Mazda El Cajon. Go there. Tell me you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. Say hi to Chris George and be pleased with your car buying experience.
When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. Having another baby was a daunting prospect for Rebecca Buell. Young and divorced, she figured the only way to survive was ending her pregnancy. She went through with the chemical abortion, but sitting in her car afterward thought, "Oh, Lord, what did I just do?" I started thinking about the baby I was carrying and what the pill was doing to him, she says. Frantically, she searched the web and found the Abortion Pill Reversal Network. For weeks, she started getting injections of progesterone to save the baby. 7 months later, she had a healthy little boy. Today, more than 300 doctors have the ability to reverse the abortion drug. Quote, having a baby doesn't ruin your life, Rebecca says. It just changes it. I've met so many women who regret having abortions, but never have I met a woman who regretted having her child, end quote. For more, go to TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience, and I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields, sitting in for David today. And I've got with me Pastor Ray Owens. Ray is the pastor of Generations North in Oceanside. They meet at the Cesar Chavez Middle School, 9:30 on Sunday mornings. You can find their information about their church and the South Campus as well at go2generation.com. And I could talk to pastors all day long. I'll tell you what, pastors are the heart and soul of my life. I work with them all around the world. One of the things that I'm very sensitive to our pastors' children. Tell me, what would you want people in a church to do for the pastor's children? What would be helpful for church body to do for a pastor's children?
You weren't kidding when you said you're going to grill me, huh? Ooh, that's a loaded that's question. I guess the simplest way to say it is just realize their kids just like any other kids.
Okay, yeah.
And not to treat them different, not to put them on a pedestal or to see them in a different light, to realize that kids are kids.
My kids used to. I've got four children. They grew up as PKs. They were pastor's kids. They would hear phrases like, you're not allowed to do that because you're the pastor's kid. That's not really true, is it?
Not true at all.
Yeah, I mean, if the pastor's kid's not allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do it either, okay? God's rules are God's rules all the way. What else would help a pastor's family, would help a pastor with his kids from people in the church? What could they do that would minister to your family?
You know, one of the greatest helps in my church is people that are actively engaged in my kids' lives. They realize that they're here to assist myself and my wife in discipling my children. And what that means a lot for me, especially in church, my kids are 10 and 7. Mm-hmm. So when church service gets out, our kids like to run around and play and get on the play set. Well, as parents, especially for me and my wife, we have to keep one eye. Okay, my wife has to keep one eye on them, right?
You're not paying attention at all.
I can't take any credit. she's keeping one eye on them and then trying to have a conversation or engage somebody that might really need to be ministered to.
So people at the church are there. They want the pastor and his pastor's wife, hey, listen to me, pay attention to me, I've got these problems. And when somebody else comes alongside and, hey, I'm going to keep an eye on the pastor's kids for him and give them a good experience at church as well.
That is one of the greatest blessings you can give your pastor.
Yeah, because then your pastor can focus on counseling these people and dealing with the people that are there, or maybe greeting a new person that's come, person has a trauma in their life. Can it also, you know, and here's something that I've had pastors that have shared with me, that people in their church have even tried to draw their children away from Christ. Just, I don't know why, but it's like to encourage them to go do something. And maybe it's a way to make the pastor, you know, hey, humble you, man, because look, your kids went and did something bad. That'd break your heart, wouldn't it?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the best thing to do for a sheep and for people in a church is to support their pastor and his family, his kids, because if your kids fail, you fail, don't you?
Yeah, and you feel it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it crushes you.
Crush.
And so when you've got people coming along saying, hey, we're going to help pick up the slack, we're going to be there to help you. So often, though, people in churches, here's a great pastor's appreciation gift you could give to your pastor. Don't criticize his kids today. You know, instead, pray for them and do that. That's a very important thing. Tell me just one thing. If you were to give an advice to a young pastor, let's say you're younger than you, okay, that has a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. They're even younger than you because you're not that old. But what advice would you give them if they're getting started in church? They say, hey, maybe I want to become a pastor. What would you say to them?
Are you sure?
Are you sure? There you go. Hey, man.
Do you know what you're getting into?
Yeah, do you know what you're getting into? No, that's very good. And then I would presume it would be to say, hey, surround yourself with other guys around you that can help you out and be a part of protecting you, right?
And that is exactly it. Partnerships in church planting or in church ministry are so vital to the health of the church, to the health of the pastor, and to the health of his family.
Right. That's one of the key principles that we've had with Whitefields. Even out in a very rural village, we have a network around them. Like you were in Uganda. We were working in God's Embassy, which is there in the one place. And then we've got a church out in Katonia. And then we've got a church that we're going to try to start out in Chagaga. And we do the same thing in Myanmar. We've got a church where one pastor's been planting a pastor tutu in one place. It's a whole year later. A family gave birth to a little boy during one of the big cyclones, and the father thought that little boy would die. Well, 2 years ago, I met them. That little boy was 6 years old when I met him. And that father is now a pastor of another church, you know, and it's kind of like these people are walking and it's like they're just a village walk away. And so he's starting another church over there so that those people don't have to walk all the way over to that place.
Beautiful.
So there's still more room for more churches around the world, isn't there?
Oh, there's a lot of room.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lost people.
A lot of lost people. And that has been one of your heart desires as well. You have gone on some mission trips. You've led some mission trips. What would you say to people about wanting to go and be somehow involved in missions? What are some things to get them excited about that?
One of the things I like to tell everybody is this is probably can be one of the greatest personal experiences that you can have with the Lord, getting out of your comfort zone and really living out the gospel. Mm-hmm. One of the things that happens on short-term trips or even mid-term trips, some people go long-term, is you're kind of stripped away from the day-to-day activity of life.
Mm-hmm.
I tell our church, a pastor told me this, I've treasured it in my heart. One of the greatest sins that we have is our busyness. We just get so busy doing everything else. But on the mission field, you don't have to worry about that. Right. I don't have to worry about this bill or that bill, or I got to take my kid here or soccer here. It's 24/7 focused in on the work of the Lord. And something happens to your soul when you're in that kind of environment. You want to take that back home.
Yeah, there's an intensity in that. And also, it gets your mind focused away from all of those things, answering emails, looking at the news, looking at your Facebook page every 30 seconds, and things like that. The key thing, though, and I know this is a part of your heart as well, when you come home, you got to stay involved in missions, right?
You got to
stay involved right here. There's opportunities to share the gospel and to be supportive of church work and to be helping people along in those things as well, right? If you were to give that young pastor, again, let's go to back to that that question, that line of thinking, what would somebody, and not all of our listeners are going to become pastors or going to do that, what would be something that you could give advice to some of those people? Maybe they've got somebody in their life that wants to become a pastor. What could they do to help them in that journey? What are some of the things that those guys need to do before they become a pastor? And what can people help them within that?
How can they come alongside of them?
How can they come alongside them? And if they're, you know, that, hey, are you sure you want to get into this? Well, then how do other people come along, not just discouraging from that, but actually helping guide them and support them in those times?
Actually partnering and supporting outside of just the verbal, I got your back, or I'll be with you on the side if you ever need me to be actively engaged. It's a beautiful calling when a young pastor is feeling the call to ministry.
Mm.
And one of the greatest ways to love them and to encourage them is to be active in their life and to really kind of get a good scope of what the Lord's doing in their life. Prayer is so key.
Right. Praying for them is very important, isn't it? You know, I'll bet if I were to ask any pastor across the country right now or around the world, they would love to have a prayer team praying for them. I believe it was Spurgeon that had a team of people that met in the basement.
Yep.
And they prayed for him every sermon. He often accredited the ministry and the work of that going on. And that's really what people could do as well. Come alongside their own pastor and pray for him. Come alongside a young man that wants to maybe become a pastor, begin praying for him, and then encouraging and being there to listen to him give Bible studies and share and hear how that goes and what the Lord does in that, isn't it?
It is. And let me share a verse real quick. Hebrews 13:7. You probably remember this one from your time as the pastorate. Have confidence in your leaders.
Right.
Submit to their authority because they keep watch over those who must give an account. Do this so that their work may be a joy, not a burden. And then here's the key for them.
Yeah.
For that would be of no benefit to you. How can we think as believers, how can I bring joy to the life of my pastor, his family, the kids, the wife?
Participating with that, and you know, it is a pastor's job to confront people, even from the pulpit. They're going to say things that offend you. That's the purpose. It's God's word is a stumbling block. And it is designed in that sense to cause us to say, is this what I have to change my life? I have to do something that doesn't make sense. And that's the job of the pastor. The key thing is to come alongside with them and to say, I want to let them do that with joy. and to say, okay, I'm going to really listen carefully. I'm going to learn from these things. So that's a great verse. I love that verse. Very seldom do pastors preach on that verse.
Because we feel self-serving, right?
That's right.
The first part, so we stay away from it. But we're on the radio, so we can do it now.
Yeah, there you go. On behalf of all those other pastors out there, we want to encourage you in your churches to come alongside and let them give you those instructions and let them do it with joy and not with a crushed spirit. Well, I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields. We've been talking with Pastor Ray Owens. He is at Generations North up in Oceanside. They meet at Cesar Chavez Middle School. You can find their website at go2generations.com. He's a part of the SBC Church Planters. If you are a young person looking to get into ministry, you can find them as well on the internet at SBC. And go check out Southern Baptist and the church planting that they are doing. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. When we come back, we've got just a little bit more to do. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ 1210 AM, KPRZ. And now, with today's Moment of Destiny, here's Pastor Paul Shepherd.
And I've come to let somebody know, don't listen to the devil when he tells you to walk away. Jesus loves you. He paid a wonderful price for you. And I don't care how many ups and downs you have. I don't care how many false starts you've had trying to get your life on track. In fact, if you've been trying to do it in the power of the flesh, God has simply been teaching you that you can't change your life. You can't get rid of your sins by your own power. You cannot clean up your act. You can't get your attitude pure. You can't get rid of uncleanness of heart, of unforgiveness. Forgiveness and bitterness and malice. You can't stop some of your foolishness until the power of God is introduced into your life.
Pastor Paul Shepherd is the senior pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Northern California. The program is heard daily on radio stations across America and anytime at PastorPaul.net.
All right, folks, this segment is brought to you by Excalibur Roofing and our very, very good friends Eric and Ingrid Holloway at Excalibur Roofing. Now, you know they have over 20 years of experience. They're active members in the BBB. They're licensed and bonded in different roofing classifications. They got testimonials from people like you, but it doesn't matter because the most important part for you to remember is Excalibur Roofing is the official roofing company for unauthorized skylights in your homes in San Diego. You might be wondering, what is an unauthorized skylight? That's a skylight that's in your roof that you didn't put there. Or, in other words, a hole in your roof. That is what Excalibur Roofing can help you with immediately. If you call 760-743-8803, that's 760-743-8803. Or if you go to their website at excaliburroofing.com, or if you go to Google and type in Excalibur Roofing, or if you go to Facebook and type in Excalibur Roofing, you will find out that the people to deal with for your roof are people that think when they do a roofing job, they're doing their work as unto the Lord. Excalibur Roofing is the best there is. You will absolutely be blessed in your interaction with them. Excalibur Roofing, give them a call and tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This segment brought to you by Whitefields Ministries and our very good friend Steve Wheeler. You can reach Whitefields by calling them at 760-846-8610. That's 760-846-8610. I'll tell you why you want to get in touch with them. Because this ministry advances the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world by helping support pastors who go to these faraway villages and they plant churches where nobody's ever heard of Jesus and they make proclamation of the gospel to people who have never heard. Another great ministry in Whitefields is they go into these villages and they help these villages move their drinking systems from cesspools to filtered water, and they don't charge a thing to do that. When they do that and offer that for the village, people from the village say, "Why are you doing that?" And then they answer with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go to whitefields.org and read the hundreds and hundreds of testimonies, the different prayer requests, and different people reaching out to all people all over the world with the gospel, and you'll be blessed just for reading it. I don't want you to say, "Yes, I'm going to be a part of this ministry," without checking them out, praying about it, and making sure it's what the Lord wants you to do. Whitefields.org. Go ahead. Find out if that's something that the Lord draws you to. Respond to it at that point. I think you'll be blessed. I know my wife and I have been.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience, and that was David just sharing with you about Whitefields Ministry. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields, and I'm sitting in for David today. He is moving, but he's going to be finished up with that. They're very efficient. His wife has it all packed and ready to go. But Whitefields does support national pastors. We're working in countries all around the world, and we really would love for you to take a look at our website at whitefields.org. You will find prayer reports about the pastors that we're doing. There's a page dedicated to the whole water ministry that we do. And that is done through the ministry of the local church. Pastor Ray, that was just with us in the last couple of segments, he went over and helped make some bricks on the brick-making machines. So he saw that, did that. And it's a great ministry because in that area, there are just cesspools where the people get their water from. But when they build these retaining water storage tanks, they can harvest the water off the roof of the church, which is naturally the largest roof in the village. And then the people from the village can come get the water right from them. One of the interesting things people kept saying to me from the village there where we were at last July was they said, "This is very different. The other churches, you know, the big like named denominational things, other religious churches, they never give to us. They only take from us. But what this church, this local church is being planted there that believes in the Bible, that's teaching the Bible, that believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus alone, not syncretizing evil spirit worship Monday through Friday and then going to a church on Sunday, but a church that actually supports and believes the Bible, they said, "You're giving to us." And that really opens the door then to share the compassion of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you can find out more information about that at whitefields.org. You can call at 760-846-8610. You'll get Brenda or Amber at the accounting department. You can set up a time if you'd like to meet with me or you'd like me to come by and talk to your church or your missions committee. I'd love to do that. Love to just get a cup of coffee with you. I was talking with Ray about coffee. Now I got to get some more coffee in my coffee cup. So I'm going to enjoy that very much. But hey, today is in history, October 20th. Now, this is very important. When you talk about today, my dad, my father, bless his heart, lived with us the last 10 years of his life. And he passed away in 2005. So it's been a while since he's been gone. But we set up the way he had become invalid and wasn't able to really get out and travel. And we set up with a mobile doctor that would actually come to our house. And it was so funny because one day the doctor was there and he's asking those questions. You know, they ask questions like, "Who's our president right now?" And at that time, it was a president my dad didn't care too much about. I won't say the name of Bill Clinton, but it was that president. And he says, "Well, I can't say as we have much of a president." And the doctor said, "Well, I'm going to take that as a yes, you know who the president is. And then he asked him, he says, do you know what today is? What day is it? And my dad said, well, it's Thursday. And then the doctor said, can you tell me what the date is? Well, my dad was sitting in this kind of easy chair that he had, but he always wanted a calendar next to his chair. And I think it was just so that he could answer this question. So my dad is sitting there, and the doctor is on the outside of the chair. And my dad, without turning his head, stares over to the left with his eyes as far as he can see to try to look at the calendar. And the doctor slaps his knee and he goes, Mr. Wheeler, I'm going to give you a yes on that one because I didn't know what the date was today either. I looked at the calendar right before I asked you. So today is October 20th. And it's Thursday, just in case you didn't know that, and you're going to be asked by a doctor to find out whether you're insane or not. I hope that you have had a great day. I've had a great show together with you today. It's been great being together. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields, and you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM. Thanks, Polly. Our producer did a great job. We'll see you all again tomorrow.
Through the hard times and the good, I have to sell.